You're listening to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network with your host, Dan Gould. Up next, the People of 250. In this, our continuing series on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, we're featuring some of the people behind Charlottesville's 250th birthday celebration. In this episode, City of Charlottesville's Rick Barrick talks with Paul Baer about his first annual TomTom Founders Festival. The festival runs through May 13th, 2012. Mr. Baer's interview was originally recorded on April 18th, 2012. Here's Rick Barrick.
We are joined by Paul Baer, who is the founder, the muscles and the brains behind the TomTom Founders Festival, which just started a week ago. Welcome, Paul.
Hey, thank you.
let's talk about the TomTom Festival. It started at the McGuffey Arts Center, and it started in your brain before that. How did you come up with this concept, and how did it lead you to where you are today?
Sure. Well, again, so my name is Paul Baer, and it's the TomTom Founders Festival is something that I've been thinking about with friends and community members for the last 6 months. And essentially, TomTom is a music art innovation festival. And it was important to us that it take place over a month. So it started on Founders Day, which was this past Friday, April 13th. It goes for an entire month. So it concludes on May 13th. And the bright, shiny object at the end of it is a music festival where we're going to have over 50 bands up and down the whole mall. And it's going to get a lot of attention, a lot of people just excited to see a music festival downtown at many different venues. So you kind of have that South by Southwest feel where you can just, which is a music festival in Austin that's urban, and you can literally walk up and down the street and there's music and galleries, there's sanctuaries, bars, clubs, restaurants, and you just see music everywhere. So that's kind of the impetus. Mm-hmm. But for us, it was like music, art, innovation. Let's take this conversation over a whole month and really explore Charlottesville as a creative hub across many different disciplines.
And conversation's a good word because you're going to be having, in addition to all these events, some seminars, some talks, some get-togethers where you'll be cultivating the spirit of innovation and what makes Charlottesville unique as being a hub for creativity.
Well, right. The preeminent place for that in terms of innovation is we're having four Wednesday evening sessions that one focuses on biotechnology in a biotech hub that's starting in Charlottesville with Martin Chapman. Another deals with, today is Wednesday. Today we're focusing on social entrepreneurship, which includes everyone from our mayor, our ex-mayor, Dave Norris, and his new enterprise with the University of Virginia. And essentially, the innovation talks deal with Charlottesville as a startup hub. Mm-hmm. And it sheds attention on it. It sheds light and publicity and to say, what would it truly mean if we were going to have these creative entrepreneurial and innovative ideas emerging out of our city and really focusing on the examples that we have in front of us.
So why did you get a personal interest in this? I know that you've done various things around town. You're probably, I would say, best known before this for your run on city council, for city council. What led you to really sitting down and putting pen to paper and getting this started?
Well, I'm from Charlottesville, that's for one thing. And actually, some of my other partners in this, one of whom is Oliver Platts Mills, he's also from Charlottesville. So there's a certain amount of hometown pride you have in your town and your home. Mm-hmm. And I went to film school at NYU, and I have sort of an arts background. And when I ran for office, it was specifically as a business person and as a creative person, mm-hmm. I suppose, as well, or someone that is not actively creative or creating any longer, but certainly has an appreciation for it. And I ran on a platform of arts and economic development, and that's kind of the genesis of this festival, is to say creativity in the arts and with music can drive economic development in the city. And then if you expand that conversation out to creativity in business, creativity in innovation, creativity in entrepreneurship, they all fit in the same conversation. They're all dealing with some of the same impulses in people, just that desire to create. And so that was what this festival sprang from, that impulse.
And you've put it together relatively fast, I think, probably faster than most folks who were starting a startup festival that lasts a month would allow themselves time to. But What's been the big surprises of the planning and frustrations and the big wins that you've had?
Well, I think the biggest wins have just been the way that the community has responded. Part of this, I guess, is when I ran for council, I talked to a lot of people. And so when I wanted to do a festival, it was about the community and about all these conversations around the town. I just had literally hundreds of people through my apartment brainstorming the festival. And it was something that musicians were excited about, obviously the music and the idea of having this kind of festival atmosphere downtown. The artists were intrigued by any conversation that brings more notoriety and publicity to Charlottesville's arts communities. And then, of course, UVA and the innovators and entrepreneurs around town have really been waiting for a conversation like this to occur for a long time, because they see the need for a startup and incubator type mentality to exist in the city. And so they just have come on board and said, this is wonderful. And you know, everyone from, well, we have the Secretary of Commerce coming to mm-hmm. some of our events, and he said it's a wonderful event. He loves it. Chief executives at Darden and Batten have said, we love it, we'll help it. And they've co-sponsored some events with us. One of our moderators for the biotech panel is the head of innovation. His name's Mark Crow at UVA. And so you have this combination of really amazing entrepreneurial people and heavy hitters all in the same stew. And I feel like that's kind of been the planning process overall, is just everything from a citizen to you know, like I said, sort of prominent people right. in the community coming on board saying, this is exciting.
It's interesting. I was at the event on the 13th, and to your credit and where you wanted this to go, there was just an incredible diversity of numbers and people and gender. And, you know, it was a lot of people from what I would imagine would be diverse backgrounds coming together, the kids playing on the street. You know, it was really wonderful. How did you think it went on Friday?
Well, for those that don't know, we had our opening gala at the McGuffey, which is the central art space downtown, old beautiful historic schoolhouse where we have artist studios. And we shut down the streets around it, and we had a street food fair. I specifically built it as a 13-band block party. And we had the bands where everyone from Chahamba, which was an African dance troupe, to Beleza Brazil, which is samba, to Invisible Hand, which is kind of a rock, punk, pop outfit, and inside. So basically we had bands on the outside, and then later on at night we took it inside, and we had three studios all going on at the same time with wow. diverse music going on the whole night. And yeah, how did that come to be? What made me think of that? I mean, well, for me, it was one of those thoughts of trying to find Charlottesville and saying, what are the underutilized spaces? What do people not typically see, or where do they not appreciate music? And for me, the McGuffey is a gym, and there's a lot of people that don't know what it is or don't know where it is. They've never been in it. And this was this opportunity to open it up to kids, to open it up to young people, to open up to teenagers, to open up to old people, I mean, to everybody. And you saw just this massive diversity of Charlottesville there to see a really diverse collection of artists.
That's right. And we certainly have a history with festivals in Charlottesville, from the Dogwood Festival to the most current, which would be probably the Festival of the Photograph. And they've evolved over time. How do you see the Tom Tom Festival growing and, you know, becoming different in the years to come?
Well, I think this first year, we've always called it a soft rollout, which has been kind of funny because it's become much more than a soft rollout. I mean,
this is quite a handful.
I mean, the McGuffey block party had 2,000 odd people there, and then we have a whole month of free art and innovation programming, and there's going to be 50 to 70 bands in the downtown mall for the final music festival. So it still is a soft rollout. It mm-hmm. still was the type of thing where we were just trying to get in people's minds, music, art, innovation. They belong in the same conversation. They're what this town is, and really get into people's minds that this was the tenor and the kind of conversation right. we're going to be having. So in the future, I'm hoping with a little bit more planning, when I'm not trying to plan this in 3 months, essentially, that we can have a lot more collaboration with, say, the the engineering school and the art school at UVA and say, mm-hmm. look, put an engineer together with, you know, a musician and with an artist and see what kind of like creative public artwork we could create, you know, could take place. And you just see the collaborations. The whole point of the festival is collaboration.
Right.
And when you have more time to set the grounds for it, I can't really say what it will be, but mm-hmm. I just think you'll see in the future a lot more public art. You'll see public performances. And like that's really the tenor of the festival is to just spread through the whole city for this month and be just bringing these conversations to each individual neighborhood.
Was it hard to sell the festival when this is the first year and people hadn't seen what it really was going to look like? When you're going to people and saying, hey, please get interested in what I'm doing here. Can you give me your time? Can you give me your talents, your money? Was that tough to do?
Well, it was certainly some people... It was probably half and half, and half in the half that wanted it just jumped on board and were like, mm-hmm. "We love it. How can we help?" Like they didn't tell me this. Maybe mm-hmm. they didn't think I could do it either, but they just were. They wanted to see it happen.
It's a big accomplishment. I mean, really. I mean, before coming here, I started thinking of the questions I wanted to ask you, and one of the things that came to mind, knowing how quickly this came about, is you know what keeps you up at night. I mean, what. You know, I know you've got a lot to go through over the next month. What do you think about what could go wrong or what you haven't done? Or are you just happy everything is rolling and becoming successful?
Well, the key to the festival, I mean, the ultimate success of the festival is going to be people coming and enjoying it and seeing what it is and then being ready for next year. So my first challenge was making sure people knew about the block party. And then when 2,000 people show up to a block party and see music and they see public art being created on the lawn and they get it, mm-hmm. that makes me feel real good. And I'm like, wow, well, maybe when we have the end of the month music festival, there's people that are prepped for it and they're ready and they're excited and they're going to buy tickets. Because the music festival, of course, is ticketed.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm forgetting your question.
No, it's okay. It's just, you know,
Oh, you asked me what keeps me up at night.
Yeah.
Well, what lets me go to sleep, I think, is probably the better question. I'm up all the time.
Are you?
Yeah, this has been... I mean, it's an amazing, exciting thing. And it's exactly... It's just... I spend all day and just am thinking about it and talking to people and, you know... It's just one of those things when you're in the birth of something and you're being in the inception of it, you just... It really becomes... A part of your soul, I guess.
Probably all-encompassing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot yet to come. Coming up through the month, you're going to be having those seminars. Let's talk about some of the things that you're looking forward to outside of the music festival.
Okay, sure. Well, we have the month in sum is called City as Canvas. And it's the idea is that Charlottesville is this creative place that's both hospitable to artists, and we invite artists to come create here. And we inspire the people that are here already to be mm-hmm. creative. So there's a whole calendar on the website, which is tomtom2012.com, that under the City as Canvas calendar has all these different events that are free. And so that includes everything from, for instance, tonight on Wednesday, we're having a pop-up concert with a bluegrass band. Tomorrow we're having... The Charlottesville Trade School, which is a really interesting bartering school.
I never heard of that.
Deal with, basically, they're going to teach a nutrition class, Ivana Khadija, with Yerushmit. And people come and they barter. They bring like a loaf of bread and they get to learn about nutrition. You know, so it's an interesting little thing. Uh-huh. And it was just one of those little organizations that is kind of the theme of the month, is to say, who's doing cool stuff around town? And how can we celebrate what you're doing? And so, I mean, other things are a poetry competition. This Saturday, we're having a latte art competition at Para Coffee, where baristas from across...
How do you describe that? What does a latte...
Well, again, if you go on the website, tomtom2012.com, and you will see literally our logo that has been created in the top of a latte. So it's basically our buffalo. And it's like, so when you're pouring the milk and the coffee...
Do that little leaf thing.
They can do the leaf. They can do people's faces. I mean, it's nuts. And so we have, I just thought it was a really cool event.
Yeah.
It's at Para. And so they're having, it's like kind of like all the baristas from across town. and then around the Commonwealth are coming to have this competition.
Is it a judge competition or just for the...
I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it's... I imagine it's judged.
Huh.
I mean, it has to be judged because it's going to be very competitive baristas. So, I mean, that's cool. We're having talks with our artist in residence. So on Monday the 23rd, we're going to have Ed Miller, who is a sculptor at UVA and had done some public work at the McGuffey opening and at the closing day in May. He's going to be talking about his process. There's literally 30 events mm-hmm. over the course of the month that deal with these creative conversations, and so it's really just a matter of people looking at the website and really picking what they find exciting.
Well, let's talk about the website. It really is. I'm assuming you got somebody locally to do that.
Yeah,
really impressive website. Lots of creativity put into it, and there's a lot of information too, particularly about some of the events, the music festival in May. What other things can people find on the website that might tell them a little bit more about arts, innovation, and culture in Charlottesville?
Sure. Well, there's three tabs. There's music, there's art, there's innovation. So that each one of those sort of directs you along that path. Perhaps what we haven't really talked about today, which is one of the most exciting things of the whole festival, and what they can find out more about, is the May 13th closing gala.
Okay.
Which, again, we sort of had bookending free days to this festival. The first was the McGuffey. And then after the music festival is done, we're going to have a closing ceremony at the Ix Project, which is 17 acres. It's downtown. It's kind of this underutilized space.
Right.
It's where the old silk or textile mill used to be.
And Celebrate 250, we'll be doing a art exhibit at the end of the year on the history of the Ix Building and how it became what it is today, but what it used to be. And that's just an industrial stronghold for Charlottesville to get us economically in a better place.
Yeah.
So,
well, this is kind of bringing attention back to that. And so we're calling it Field Day. So there's going to be children's activities. There's going to be Field Day games. There's going to be a free community concert. We have everything that day from gospel to R&B to bluegrass to rock. And I mean, the same sort of mentality of the McGuffey, really, mm-hmm. which is just have music that you can find new artists, you can find new bands, you can find new people in your community,
mm-hmm.
and you can interact, and it's all it's an exciting thing. It doesn't really happen that much in Charlottesville, which is why we kind of took it off the mall. Mm-hmm. Actually, the McGuffey's off the mall. It's on the north side. The Ix Project is very close proximity to the mall. It's on the south side, and we really wanted to most of the festivals on the downtown mall, but then have these kind of concluding events mm-hmm. and opening events that bring people off the downtown mall and really open up the community, different sides of the community, and let different communities participate as well.
Right. I mean, it's interesting because in that area, both in north downtown and south of the mall, there are neighborhoods that are adjacent to each other, but they really don't talk to each other many times. And this probably, I would imagine, would be a good experience to have folks from Fifeville and Ridge Street coming together with folks from Belmont and really enjoying themselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the day is going to start with the Music Resource Center, which is a nonprofit in town, and it sort of inspires high school students to perform. So that's going to start the day off. Then we're going to have some gospel choirs with some local churches. Then we're going to have a brass band, kind of a rock brass band from Fredericksburg. And we're still lining up the rest of it, but it looks like right now it's going to be kind of an Afro-Cuban band to close, and then a bluegrass band in between. And so you can just sort of imagine this free day, outdoor concert, street food, games going on, people just out having a good time. And
this is on the 13th.
This is on the 13th. It's a Sunday.
Okay.
So it's actually Mother's Day. And in the irony of this festival this year, April 13th, of course, is always going to be Founder's Day.
Or Thomas Jefferson's birthday.
And Thomas Jefferson's birthday. Mm-hmm. And then the concluding day is going to be May 13th, which is Mother's Day. So it's the founder and the mother. Yeah.
You're going to bring your mother to this?
Oh, Mom is at all these events.
Is she?
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Oh, yeah. Mom is, she's so excited by this. I mean, like a lot of people, they're just excited to see all these different events, and they really, it kind of inspires them to step outside the bounds mm-hmm. of what they normally do. Because if you like art, you may not necessarily always think, oh, innovation is going to be my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then here you get to have casual conversations with leading innovators in town, you know, or the same sense if you're a business student, you may not even know that there's poetry competitions going on or there's latte art. And it just sort of widens your view of the city and what's out there and what's available.
Now, a while back, and I think this was new for you, you were housing some talks, some kind of informal talks in your own apartment. Did that lead you, those conversations lead into really taking this seriously?
Well, when I ran for office, I started a thing called Talk About the City. And it's actually, I was realizing my website is still up when I ran for city council. So the information is all still there. But I ran these talks about the city, and they were kind of informal conversations. And I'd have anywhere from 10 to 30 people show up on any given night during the week. And literally just would sit down and we'd chat about the city. And sometimes they'd ask me questions, sometimes I wouldn't know. And a lot of times I just would direct it to people that did know in the audience. So it was kind of like this meet your neighbor, meet type exercise. And so that format served really well for the council, you know, race. Mm-hmm. But then it served super well, if that's a word, for this planning exercise, because people were accustomed to coming and being listened to and participating. And this actually was the chance to let them do something, you know, not just talk.
Right.
Because anytime you call it talk about the city, is it just talk or people doing stuff?
Right.
And so this was kind of a natural, you know, branching out and saying, okay, well, now we have this festival that we can do. And it's going to take all these conversations and put them into action. So I thought it was a nice transition.
Good. Now, at the end of the festival, outside of the May 13th event, is the music festival, which is Friday and Saturday. I was looking through all the bands. You've got them all on your website. Everyone's got a picture. Let's go through generally what people can expect to see on that Friday and Saturday.
Well, sure. The Friday and Saturday is the music festival, as you said. We have a ticketed wristband. Right now, for a limited time, they're $50. And so for that $50, you get a wristband, and for 2 days, you'll see 50 to 70 bands up and down the entire mall. It will get you access to all the venues. The prime venues are The Haven, which is it's a day shelter, but it also features this incredible performance space that's a refurbished sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it at Christ Episcopal Mead Hall, which is kind of a listening room, an old Gothic cathedral listening room. It's really beautiful. And then we have the Main Street Arena, which is the ice skating rink, but then for this is going to be a dance hall and a rock venue. And so for those 2 days, 50 bands, the headliners are people like Josh Ritter, who's an American folk singer. He's considered one of the greatest songwriters of the generation.
Hmm.
He'll be performing at The Haven, which for someone that can sell out the Jefferson, for people to be able to see him at this beautiful old church is going to be really incredible.
That's
it's on Saturday
at 10:30.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's really the broad scope of this is that it's local bands. A vast majority are local bands. And they encompass the diversity of Charlottesville music.
Yeah.
And then we also brought bands from everywhere across the country, primarily sort of the idea being that they're buzz bands. They're bands that
are up and coming.
Yeah. They're innovative, you know. So it's indie pop, it's indie folk, it's indie rock. And then at night we're having these massive dance parties with electronic DJs that we've flown in from across the country.
Wow.
And so...
most of these folks are playing for minimal charges, right? I mean, this is... I imagine some people get
No, they're not. They're not paying for minimal charges. No, it's... I mean, that's the funny thing is you wouldn't realize this, but when you run a festival, you get charged festival prices. Like artists, you know,
they don't give you a break.
Oh, no. They actually expect more because they're going, well, I'm coming to play a festival and surely he must be making tons of money. So we want to be paid tons of money. And, I mean, that's actually, Charlottesville has an amazing ability to draw music. in general.
Was that easier, given our you know, good history with producing bands? Was it easier to coax people to come here?
Well, I think people love Charlottesville. Yeah. I mean, it's not a hard ask to make an artist to come through Charlottesville.
Right.
And of course, certainly when it's, I mean, we just, certainly with Red Light and with Korn, we have a music industry in here in Charlottesville. We have a scene, you know, no small part because of them. And they've really laid the groundwork for this to take place.
I'm looking at some of the, I always find it very interesting that some of the names that bands come up with, Midtown, Dickens, Philip St. Hours. I always want to know where the name came from.
Well, Philip St. Hours is a local guy, and that's actually his name.
That's his name. It's a good name.
Yeah, it is a good name. He's great. He's one of those fascinating guys that I don't want to say he's an investment banker, but he's in financial services of some kind in the investment field. And then he's also just been a stalwart of the music scene in Charlottesville. He's in a kind of a rock band called Panther Burn. He runs a music
scene too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but again, it's like the you sort of come to this festival and you see the local story, and then you can also have the opportunity to see a lot of national stories and a lot of emerging national acts that are going to be very big in future years. And some, the Walkmen are the other headliner, and they were one of the pioneering rock bands of the last decade, and they're coming to the Main Street Arena on the Friday night. So, I mean, when people hear the Walkmen and they're in that scene, they're in that crowd, they get very excited because they're a really successful, influential band.
Right. So what happens now? Next year, I'm assuming you have to change the website address to TomTom 2013, but do you plan on continuing this,
This is an annual event. This is the first of many, many future years, I hope. And, it's a soft rollout.
Uh-huh.
It's the largest soft rollout ever, but it is just a teaser.
Well, Paul, thank you for joining us today. We wish you luck. We've got all that information up either on the celebrate250.com or your website, tomtom2012.com. I know this is going to be a busy, long month for you, so hopefully you will get a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, no, I hope so too. Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us.
From the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, I'm Dan Gould.